Amen. If you guys would, be turning your Bibles over to Colossians 3.
All right.
Amen.
Tonight we're going to be talking about clothing ourselves with Christ.
Amen.
And how to do that, some obstacles that keeps us from doing that. But I just wanted to start off first just to thank the church again for any time I get an opportunity to talk about God. I'm extremely grateful.
Amen.
And I'm extremely grateful that I have men in here who love God so much that you guys want to hear about God.
Amen.
So that's always a win-win situation.
Yeah, that's right.
Tonight, like I shared, we're going to be in Colossians pretty much the entire time. We're going to be in Colossians 3 pretty much the entire time. But I wanted to talk about tonight just us first setting our hearts and our minds on Jesus Christ. And even as I was coming over here, I finished up my lesson, and probably at about 5:30, I got sick as a dog. Even now, I'm sweating, and I was like, what is going on? And so I hadn't done anything different out of the norm, and man, my head started hurting, my stomach started hurting, my temperature shot up to like 101. So I told Alicia, I said, you know what, so I'm going to go lay down. I'm going to take some leave, I'm going to go lay down for a minute. And I said, let's just pray. So we prayed, and I went and laid down. And so she came in and woke me up, and my headache was gone. My stomach ache was gone.
Amen.
But I still had a temperature, and I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, you know what? We have about 15 minutes before we're supposed to be at church. I'm like, God, come on. You're going to have to move here. And so so I'm putting on my clothes, and I'm getting ready, and my daughter comes in, and she's like, Dad, you don't look too good. And I was like, I said, do you mean like face-wise or health-wise? And she was like, both. Oh, man, please pull that knife out of my heart. You know, but she was just saying, Dad, you want to lay down for 5 more minutes? And I was saying, nah. I said, nah, I got to get up because I got to get dressed. I got to get ready. And we got to get out of here. And so, and even as I was doing that, I was just thinking about, wow, just how, you know, at times it's easy for us, you know, to push through, to make sure that we're clothed and we're ready to walk out the door, to go do whatever it is that we think we ought to be or should be doing. Mm-hmm. And how much so do we do that when it comes to pushing through and fighting through to be clothed with Christ? And that's some of the stuff we're going to talk about tonight.
Amen.
And I am glad to say I feel much, much better. I tell you what, you get here, you hear the singing and the fellowship.
Yeah.
God is an incredible God. I don't know how I just started feeling better, but I reached over and I told my wife, I was like, I said, wow. You know, after we sung two other songs, I was like, man, I'm feeling better already. And something about being in God's house, brothers, I'm telling you.
Amen.
I'm a firm believer.
Amen.
And so So I'm grateful for that, you know. But I want to talk to us about just some of the things that's on our minds and on our hearts, you know. Like for me, I know things for me that constantly are on my mind and on my heart. My family is one. I think about jobs. I think about my kids' school. I think about our cars. One of our cars, my wife was coming from a study the other night, and the car locked up on her. And there's some kind of sensor in the car. We had no idea, but it just locked up on it. This is last week when it was about 2 degrees outside. And the only thing I can think of is, oh, my God, my wife is stranded out in the cold and the car won't start. And so we rush out there and take care of that. I think about we're trying to figure out our house and all of this stuff and finances. So there's all these things as men that can consume our mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
And take our thoughts away from being focused on God.
Yeah.
And so, and some of these things, here's the deal, brother. Some of these things are legit. They're valid thoughts. Like, there's nothing wrong to think about these things. But as we go through the scripture tonight, we're going to see Jesus' view on all of those things.
Amen.
And then I just want us to take a look at them and see, just in the grand scheme of things, how important are they really?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Turn with me over to Colossians 3. We're going to jump in verse 1. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. One stop right there. The Bible says for us to set our hearts and to set our minds on things above. And I'll be honest, sometimes it is hard to set your heart and your mind on things above when everything in front of you, all these earthly things are happening around you. And we're trying to get past those things, and we're trying to get our hearts to a place where it's just solely focusing on God. We're trying to get our minds to a place where it's just solely focusing on God. And I don't know about any of you, but there's been times I've been reading my Bible and praying, and as I'm praying, literally, my mind will drift to something else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, there's been times I could be reading my Bible, but there's been times I've been praying with my wife, and my mind can go to some of the deepest, darkest, craziest things. And it's like, where's that coming from?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, I'm trying to do something spiritual, but why is my mind over here? And then it takes a minute to reel it back in, and then after I get it reeled back in, then I got to think, well, why did it go there? So now I'm focusing on why it was there in the first place. And I'm still not focused on what it should be.
Yeah.
And as men, you know, those things are easy for us to focus on. It's easy to focus on our jobs. It's easy for us to focus on our finances. Because as men, we're providers. As men, we're the head of the household. And, you know, our significant others, our wives, whomever, our children, they're counting on us to do certain things. And so there's a pressure that the world will put on us that wasn't meant for us. It was meant for God. Amen. And so what happens is we try to take that pressure and handle it ourselves.
Right.
And what it does is it takes our heart and it takes our mind away from things above. And I'll tell you guys, when you start thinking about things above, when you start thinking about heaven, there's nothing more incredible.
It's true.
Sure. You start thinking about spending eternity with God Almighty. There's nothing greater. I love my wife. I love my family. But man, when I think about heaven and eternity, wow, it doesn't compare. There's no comparison.
Sure.
None at all.
Yeah.
Not that I love my wife any less, but I just love heaven so much more. And I've never even been there. You know, now I've been with my wife and my family. I've physically seen them. But just imagine from what the scripture says what heaven is going to be like.
Amen.
Setting our hearts and minds on things above. You know, that word set, you know, the Bible says for us to set our heart and mind. Notice it could have used many other words to help us to get our hearts and our minds right. But it said to set it. You know, anybody in here ever had a broken arm or broken leg? You have a broken arm, they have to set it in a cast. And it doesn't move. No matter how much you want to move it or how much you want to straighten it out or whatever, it's not going to move. It's going to be right there until the appropriate time. And that's what God wants us to do with our hearts and mind. He wants it to be right there, unmovable. And as men, when we do that, when we have our hearts and our minds focused on God, focused on things above, and it's unmovable, watch out, world.
Amen.
Watch out, Gwinnett. The things that God can do with us. Because we all know what it's like to feel like, oh, man, here's this sin I just couldn't overcome. Or here's this obstacle I just couldn't beat. And then we feel defeated. Or we feel, you know, well, we allow Satan to make us feel guilty now.
Right.
Well, when God says, set our minds above that, Satan doesn't have that opportunity to do that. You know, God knows we're all sinners. Satan knows we're sinners. But a lot of times, we forget that. We forget that we're sinners. Because, man, we read our Bible, we pray, we do all these great things, we help others, we go all out. We open up our homes. We go above and beyond at times. And we can start taking stock in those things. We can start taking stock in our jobs. We can start taking stock in things that we had no control over. It was only God who did that. And we can start taking credit for it. And that's why God is saying, hey, don't set your mind on these
Amen.
Things. Because when you do, it'll do one of two things to you. It'll make you puff your chest out and make you feel like you've done something, or it'll make you withdraw and only focus on the inward and forget why God have you at that job. And so this is why, brothers, we have to set our minds on things above.
Amen.
And in doing so, there are some obstacles that keeps us from setting our minds on things above. Let's keep reading here in verse 5 through 11. In verse 5, it says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all." And I want to stop there, because here's the deal. There are some things that keeps us from setting our minds on things above. And my second point is that we have to put to death and get rid of sin. We have to, brothers. Because here's the deal. If we don't put this sin to death, it will keep us from being effective the way God intended us to be.
Yeah.
It will keep us from setting our minds and our hearts on things above. Because all these sins they name, I guarantee you, we've all at some point in our life have been a part of them. Some of them, if not all of them. And the Bible says that we can no longer live this way. It says this is how we used to live. And, you know, it's sobering for me, because I realize that these are the same sins that can, the things that I love the most, these very sins right here are the things that will take them away from me. I think about my wife. I think about my children. I think about my relationships with you guys. You know, these are the things, these same sins, sexual sins, lying to each other. It's stuff like that that kills those relationships.
Right.
And whether you are a middle schooler in here or whether you are the most eldest person in here, I'm not sure if eldest is the word, but it'll be tonight. But, you know, if you fall into that range, at some point, you got to make some decisions.
Yeah.
It says, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, put it to death. And see, we all have our earthly natures. But it's hard to put to death something that you really love. It's very hard to put it to death. Because we love it. We love that sinful nature. And as men, it's time for us to just be real with ourselves. We can say, "I hate that," and "I don't like it." No, we love it. We love it. And the first step in overcoming it is recognizing it. I'll be honest, I am a sinner. I love sin. I hate the consequences of it, but I love sin. And that's not good by no stretch of the imagination, but I just want you guys to know who I am. All right. Me, apart from God, I'd be the biggest liar you guys ever seen. I'd be the most immoral person you've ever seen. I'd be the rudest, nastiest person you've ever seen. Every other word out of my mouth would be a curse. And how do I know these things? Because I remember what happened before I got baptized. I remember who I was. And so these are the things that I have to put to death.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
Because if they don't die, if there's still the slightest inkling of them living, they'll come back.
Right.
And could possibly overtake me. Mm-hmm. So I have to put it to death. You have to put it to death.
Amen.
We have to put it to death.
That's right.
So we can be the men that God called us to be.
That's right.
You know, it goes on. It says, verse 7, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other. And I just want to camp out here for a second. It says, you used to live in these ways. It says, but now he gives us another group of things that keeps us from setting our hearts and mind on things above. Anger. Now for a man, it's funny that he put these in here this way, because at first I was like, okay, maybe he's doing this in alphabetical order, and I was like, no, it's not alphabetical order, because slander would come after filthy language, and that's just how my mind works at times, guys. But I'm looking at this and I'm like, anger, wow, it can be very easy for men to get angry. Mm-hmm. Let me just give you guys a scenario.
Yep.
Hard day at work. The boss asking you to do things that you probably shouldn't do and you don't want to do. Co-workers giving you a hard time just being co-workers because they aren't Christians. You deal with that for, and everybody says 8 hours, but you're at work longer than 8 hours. You know, you're usually at 9 to 10 hours at least. And so you leave there and you come home to the house and the kids are arguing and fighting with each other. You go get the mail and there's 4 bills in there. You know, you sit down and you get ready to eat and it's probably not what you wanted for dinner. And you go in there to look for your clothes that you want to wear and they're dirty and it's like, oh, man, how did this get dirty? Like somebody else wore it, you know. All these things are happening, going on. Now, keep in mind, this is just in the course of one day. You know, compile this over a week. And now you're throwing in, now we're throwing in our biological families. Many of us have brothers and sisters and moms and dads. You throw those in and it's just like a powder keg waiting to go off in a lot of situations. So you throw all that in. And then you come to church, whether it's Wednesday or Sunday, and we see brothers or sisters that we have attitudes with. We see people who are telling us about our children, that things we don't want to hear. We hear people telling us about our marriages, things we don't want to hear. And it just keeps building. It keeps building. And instead of us focusing on things above, now we have a long laundry list of things we're pulling behind us that we're focusing on.
Wow, man. Right.
And then we wonder why some of our lives haven't been as effective as they could be in Christ. We wonder why we haven't matured to the place of solid food when we're still on milk. And for some of us, we really have to just stop and say, wow, what have I been focusing on then?
Come on, Tony.
What have I been doing?
Amen.
Because God has given every last one of us the same opportunities.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do with your opportunity?
Right.
It keeps going. He says, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self. I want to stop right there. It says, guys, we should have taken off that old self. We should have taken off those old attitudes we had. We should have taken off those old desires. All those things should have been taken off when we became new in Christ, when we got baptized. But my fear is, like me, some of you may have kept a few and pull them out at the most opportune time. You know, I'm going to pull out this old card and play it when you try to disciple me on my marriage. You can't tell me about my marriage. Look at yours.
Come on, Tony.
You try to disciple me on how I raise my kids. Well, who are you to talk to me about my kids? You try to talk to me or you try to disciple me on how much I work or how much time I'm giving to the world and not to God. Well, are you going to pay my bills?
Come on, Tony.
You know, we have these cards that we play. You know, why aren't you at church more? Why aren't you fill in the blank. Why aren't you? And we play those cards at the most opportune time. You know, we're waiting for somebody to ask us. Just so we can play that card. I've been holding this trump card for a minute. I'm ready to play. You know, give me a reason to pull out this card.
Here's the deal, guys.
When we're like that, there's no way our hearts can be on things above.
Right.
And if they're not on things above, we have to stop and ask ourselves, then what are they on? That means they haven't been set yet. They haven't been set the way Christ intended them to be. And we have to be patient. We have to be understanding and realize, you know what? I've had a broken arm. And I'll tell you, when they said it, you know what? It's the most awkward feeling in the world. But I realize that in a little time, it's going to be better. Mm-hmm. But I have to go through this now. I have to let them set it so that later on, it's going to be able to do what I need it to do.
Yeah.
And that's what God is trying to tell us.
Amen.
I have to set you a certain way so you will be able to do what I need you to do.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
The way you are, it won't work. Mm-hmm. It's going to bring a whole lot of pain to you and a whole lot of pain to God. Mm-hmm. Unless we make some changes.
Amen.
You know, as men, God's given us a great responsibility. Mm-hmm. You know, not just to lead our families, not just to lead, you know, our children. But God has given us a responsibility just as leaders in his kingdom. Whether you have a title or not, you are a leader. There are people at your job. There are people at your schools. That wherever you go, there are people who are waiting to be led to God.
Amen.
And you are the one God has chosen to lead them there.
Amen.
Come on, Tony.
So how's your leadership going? How are you guys doing with me? You know, because it's easy to feel like, man, I got to take me a day off. I'm stressed out from work. I'm stressed out from family. I got to take me a day off. That's why God put in there about that anger and that rage and that malice, you know, because he knew my heart. He knew I was going to need this. But what about the expectation God has for us? Brothers, we cannot live that way any longer.
That's right.
We have to start holding each other accountable. We have to start lifting each other's arms up.
Yeah.
You know, when was the last time you told a brother, great job? You know, brother, let's get together and pray this week. I've heard you've been going through some hard times. Let's pray. Let's get God involved.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, hey, brother, let me share with you my quiet time. You know, let's help each other through this battle.
Amen.
Because I tell you, there's not very many people that can set their own cast. Everybody needs help.
That's right.
Amen. Come on, Tony.
Let's help each other. My last point is we also, after we set our hearts, after we put to death the sin in our lives, now we have to clothe ourselves with Christ. Because we've gotten all that stuff out. Now there's still one last thing we got to do. We've got to clothe ourselves with Christ. And how do we do that? You know, for men, we think about clothing ourselves. I was talking to my wife about this lesson. And we were talking about just clothing ourselves. And we were like, yeah, you know, for women, when they clothe themselves, you know, they got to have the makeup, the accessories. Their clothing isn't complete until all the accessories are done. But for men, you know, we can take pretty good stock in our clothing as well. Don't we feel good when we've gotten a nice haircut and have on nice clothes, whether it's a suit or whatever the case may be, and you're looking, you know, pretty spiffy? You carry yourself even differently sometimes, you know. And we take a lot of stock in that, you know, before we go out. Especially those of us that have dated and been married. You know what? I guarantee you, when you went out with your wife or your significant other, I bet you $1 million that I don't have probably spruced it up a little bit. I guarantee you didn't go pick her up in your dirtiest clothes.
Oh, no.
You
no,
know.
No.
Probably even washed and cleaned a car.
What?
You push me.
You know, hey, find somebody's cologne and splash on a dab or two. You'll be surprised what we'll do when we think there's an opportunity to get something that we want.
Right.
We'll go all out. we will definitely clothe ourselves in the best clothes we have.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, just because we want to impress, whether it's a job interview. Not many of us go on job interviews in tattered or raggedy clothes. We're going to put on our best when we go in that job interview. We're going to try to make sure, if nothing else, we look good. Do we have that same attitude when it comes to our Father in heaven?
Sure.
When we're getting ready to go to God, do we have that attitude that, man, I want Him to see me as beautiful. I want to impress Him today. Mm-hmm. Do we have that same attitude, or do we just run to Him and whatever? You know, in Colossians 3, verse 12, as we get ready to wrap up here, it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And I say that because how do we clothe ourselves? The Bible says we have to clothe ourselves with compassion, mm-hmm. with kindness, mm-hmm. with gentleness, and with patience.
Right.
Wow.
And, you know, that's hard for, some of these are hard for me. Patience is very hard for me. I've been getting discipled on patience for a long, long time. Very, very hard. And got discipled on it last night. You know? And I appreciate Kenson, and I told him, I appreciate that. Because here's the deal. I don't want to step out of my house half naked. I want to be fully clothed.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
I don't want anybody looking at me like, what's wrong with that? But do you realize, guys, that's how we can look when we don't clothe ourselves with these. You guys can write down these scriptures. For compassion, write down Matthew 15, verse 32. For kindness, Luke 6, verse 35. This is when Jesus is talking about loving your enemies. Mm-hmm. For humility, Philippians 2, verses 6 through 8. For gentleness, Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. And for patience, Matthew 18, verse 26. And as men, guys, these are all virtues that we have to put on if we want to be able to set our minds on things above. Because there's no way I can ever set my mind on things above if I'm not showing kindness. If I'm not being kind, if I'm not compassionate, if I see someone in need that needs something and it doesn't move my heart, if I'm not gentle, and I'm not just talking about being gentle with your wife or your children.
More
I'm talking about a gentle spirit
right.
that the Bible talks about.
Amen.
I'm talking
right.
about the gentleness that Jesus says to come to me if you're weary and burdened. You know, that gentle spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, man, do we possess these qualities? And if we don't, man, let's get with each other. Let's help each other to start possessing these qualities
mm-hmm.
so that we can all grow in this area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this isn't, these aren't qualities of just leaders. These are qualities that Jesus possessed, that he wants us all to have.
That's right.
Amen.
And patience. You know, I'm asking you all to help me with patience because I love to go 100 miles an hour. You know, let's go. But I need patience. Because I'll miss what God is trying to show me. Because I'll run right by it.
Mm-hmm.
And my fear is that I'm not the only one that'll be that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says here, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity.
Wow.
How are we all going to be completely unified? Is by love.
Yeah.
Yep.
John 13:34. Jesus talks about it. Brothers, if we want to be perfectly united, and like the scripture said earlier, where it says there's no slave, no free, no barbarian, no Scythian, you know, no Greek, no Jew, it's just one in Christ. That's how we do it.
Amen.
We do it by love.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
You know, not just in word, but in deed. But it should start with words. You know, not just, hey, bro, I love you. Tell a brother why you love
him. Amen. Amen.
Tell brothers why you're grateful for him.
Amen.
Right. You know, guys, let's start being vulnerable with each other.
Yeah.
Let's start helping each other.
Amen.
Let's start encouraging each other. Let's speak the truth in love.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Amen. You know, because we see a lot of stuff that we should be talking to brothers about. Mm-hmm. Let's talk. Let's have some of those talks.
Amen.
But do it out of love.
Yeah.
Not out of authority.
Amen.
And so as we do this, I'm telling you guys, we're going to see God do some amazing things.
Amen.
We're going to see God not only bless your life, but he's going to bless the people's lives around you,
right,
as he did throughout the Bible. When the disciples got blessed, it wasn't just them that enjoyed the blessings. It was the people around them as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so tonight I pray that, you know, we will all set our hearts and minds on things above.
Amen.
Amen.
I pray that we will all put to death the sin that's so prevalent in our lives, and we will help each other through those sins. And I pray lastly that we will clothe ourselves with compassion so that we can be more like Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you guys for your time, and God be glory.